기조금몰아까워나밖에내오름이물어가야깜빡한데놀러
바라밤밤밤밤밤바라바라밤 No one knows the lyrics. No one knows the lyrics to that song.
Does Kalila know him?
You remain.
Okay, fine.
The light on the sun.
Also, put some makeup on, Seal. The scar's distracting.
Hey, that's a cultural thing.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know. I thought that wasn't like a spear.
No, because I dated a guy from.
How do you have so many segues? Kalila has the most amount of segues. So, yeah, I dated a guy.
yeah, she does.
No, but he had the scarification from his village and stuff.
Oh, so. Is that what it is? It's a ritualistic.
I don't know if that's what Seal's thing is. I just assumed it. But,
it's like a Yakuza. If Yakuza sang it, right?
Yeah. They have a samurai sword.
Like, this is Yakuza singing.
Yeah.
And his hand comes up and his finger's missing. It's the same thing. It's like cultural.
It's cultural.
You know what I mean? I lost this in my boss made me shop it off. I don't know that. You know what I mean? My boss made me chop it off. It hurts so bad. I can't play the piano anymore.
That's welcome to Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, everyone.
What's up? I have to say, I want to apologize to begin with because, you know, we have a young lady living in the house, and she's like a daughter to me. She really is. She tells me what to do. I'll tell you what happened the other day. She goes, Uncle Tito? I go, yeah, woman. That's how I talk to all the ladies in the house.
All your daughters.
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't. And I go, yes, Juliana. Oh, Rudy. She goes, can you put things away when you take it out? So I go, you know, that's fair.
It's good.
That's fair, right? Am I not right, George? Right? If I take something out, like English muffin, because the English muffin was sitting there in the kitchen, and she's tired of like, going, oh, Uncle Tito brought out the English muffin. So she goes, I've had enough. So she tells me. So the other day, after she tells me that, she goes to her bedroom and she sees a whole package of English muffins on her bed.
And it's so sad because she didn't even think the worst of you. She just assumed Julio brought it there. Julio the dog.
No, I did not.
Stole it from the counter and brought it to the bed.
That's some like mafia type of shit you're doing.
It was me.
Leaving stuff.
Right? You tell me what to do, right? And I'm going to take it the other direction. All right?
That's still not true.
I know, because these women have me on a...
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I kind of want to just get to the bottom of it, really. Like from a psychological standpoint, what is your thought process when... Because your stats right now are 10 for 10. 10 for 10, you will not find... I don't think you know what a trash can is. I don't know.
I know what a trash can is.
I don't know what the word. I don't think you know what the word return or put back in its place means. Like, I don't think you know any of that. So, in psychological process, I want to know, like, what happened as a child to where you were just allowed to do that?
I'm going
to
tell you the process of me taking out an English muffin. May I do that? May I defend myself, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, this is, I wake up. Oh, I hungry. Right?
Natural.
Which is, I'm a human being and I need nutrients inside my systems. Right? Am I not right, Gil?
That's
so I need vitamin C, D, all to Z. I need it all.
B, yeah.
To get all the joints moving and to get energies.
Collagen,
right?
Yeah.
So I go, you know, what's the easiest? I also don't know how to
make a lot of collagen in the English muffin, Gilbert.
a lot of good collagen in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I go, okay, English muffin. So I... You know, of course, they get the complex ones.
What complex?
Be complex?
No, the English muffins that are complex.
No, it's the most standard.
No, I have to open it.
Oh, he has to cut it?
I have to cut it.
You're saying the packaging is complex.
No, not the packaging. The actual muffin, I have to split it and have to put it in the toaster, right?
Oh, it's not pre-cut.
I have to line it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's usually like, you know what I mean, the bottom part. It goes thick and then completely thin at the edge. So then when you put it in the toaster, half of it's black because, anyway, it's a good brand. It's a good brand. But my point is this, okay?
It's the brand.
So I put it in there, right? I take out my peanut butter, which I love. Sometimes I put Manuka honey. Sometimes I put jelly, depending how Papa feels, you know? Sometimes I do a combination. Right?
Alaka, yeah.
Right. Alaka, alaka. So okay. Then I...
I think it's cute how he uses like really, really frou-frou jam and really like fancy, expensive manuka honey. But you can't tear him away from Skippy peanut butter. It's Skippy. Oh,
not organic, like the whole
forever.
No, because the other shit, when you get organic peanut butter, it's like you open it up and there's like a sea of oil on top.
You gotta mix it around.
I don't mix. Papa doesn't mix.
Was it pre-mixed?
Yeah. I want it pre-mixed. Thank you. I don't want to do the work. All right.
Okay.
So I like Jiffy because you don't have to do that shit.
It's Skippy. No, it's Jiffy.
Oh, whatever the bread. Right. All right. So I put the stuff on the English muffin, right?
Yeah.
And I always get like a little orange juice because I love orange juice. Right, and I eat it, and I'm always like gadgeting too when I'm eating it, right? Mm. Twitter, you know what I mean? What's going on politically or whatever it might be, and then I go play Warzone.
What happens to all this stuff?
You just that's what it. I'm saying. That's see oh, there okay, now okay. We're getting to it. Now we're getting to it, right?
Okay.
There's a little lapse, right, between eating, right, and Warzone. I just kind of black out. And it's a condition I might have to go see. I might have to talk about it with my therapist.
Kalila, what do you think that blackout moment is?
Well, he's been... part of the drawback of going to therapy is that he now... A lot of his actions have now been validated with a diagnosis. So all he has to say is, I'm sorry, I'm an ADD kid. So therefore, like, he cannot...
PTSD as a kid. It's insidiously...
No, I said ADD.
Whatever it might be, you know what I mean? I have all kinds of conditions going on, right? So who knows? It's about my past. It's my dad's fault. If my dad didn't hit me, right, I might be able to put the English muffin away.
But that's like saying, here.
Yeah.
But that's like saying I have cancer and I don't want to heal. I don't want to get better. Like you get a diagnosis because you want you want to somehow, you know... Getting a diagnosis of something should be sort of a sigh of relief saying, I know what's ailing me, or I know why I'm this way. Now let's try and improve on it. Improve on my life. Improve on my surroundings. Make my partner less resentful. Make Juliana less resentful. Put the jam back. Like, I just want to know what crosses your mind. I don't think that's ADD anymore. That's just straight disrespect. That's just straight fucking... just no regard for the people around that you live with.
Okay. And you know what? I apologize. And you have a very good point there. Solid with
that was articulate. Damn.
It's articulate. You backed it up. And you're absolutely 100% correct. But I had an epiphany the other day. Okay. I had an epiphany the other day. I'm sitting outside. I got up at around 3 p.m. Right? And I get up all groggy. You know, I'm outside. I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm sorry. I'm going to quit, guys. So don't comment or, you know, tweet at me. Bob's got to quit. You know, I know. I'm going to quit. All right. And I think about that every day. So I was sitting out there smoking a cigarette and I'm drinking my little iced coffee. And I had an epiphany. Number one, I asked myself, how did I get here? That's the number one thought. Okay. Number two, I don't know nothing. It was like an epiphany. I don't know how I got here. I have no skill level. I don't know how I survived it, right? But here I am in the backyard of this house smoking a cigarette going, what happened?
How did I get
like I don't know how to I don't know how to get into my bank account. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'll be real. I'm being honest with you.
Remember, George, we had this discussion last week.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah.
What was the discussion?
Because I was telling you last week we need to be more economical about our expenses because you don't know. I know that you're not on the road, so in my head... I tally up what we should be spending versus what's coming in. And I was telling George last week, I was like, he doesn't know how much he makes anywhere, so he's still spending the same.
But that's not the epiphany. The epiphany is even beyond that. The epiphany is, I don't even know how I got here. You know, like if I look back at my life, at my life, it's like, I don't know, because I have no skill. Right? I like, you know, all I can do is act goofy.
It's a so skill.
That, I've survived. I don't know if that's skill, but like I'm a goofy fucker.
That's a God-given talent.
That's what she says, but I don't know if it's a talent. I think it's more of a I was born wrong, and then with the elements of my the history of my life, right? I was born kind of like abnormal, maybe not retarded, but But like, okay, so I was born abnormal, right? Extra sensitive, right? Maybe not the brightest, you know, cookie in the jar.
Okay.
If I can use that term, right? And then my dad beat the shit out of me with alcoholism and, you know what I mean, a lot of chaos, right? And I think that, and I developed a defense mechanism because it was just too real for me, which was humor. I used to joke things off or make myself laugh at night, you know what I mean, by farting weird in the bed as a kid, you know, whatever I might be, and goof around and act rambunctious and rebellious. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened. But my point is that I don't really have any, like, I know vaguely about history. I know things vaguely. But do you ever think that, like, how did I get here?
Wait, this was your rebuttal after Kalila?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it all goes back to the English muffin. It goes back to the English muffin.
I'm trying to figure out. Oh, you don't know how you got to the English muffin. Is that what you're saying?
I don't even know how. You know what I mean? I don't even know that.
He doesn't even know where he started with English muffin. It's basically the whole story.
I got lost. You caught me.
This is his rebuttal to that articulate comment from Kalila?
Yeah.
Well, that's actually, it's a perfect parallel. Whatever happened just now. So the fact that he started with an English muffin and then he ended where he didn't even know what he was talking about is a parallel to his life that he was trying to explain.
Right.
That's just how his life works. He starts somewhere and then doesn't know how he ends up
got
one
there.
Place.
I see. Yeah.
No, it's like, I'll give you an example, right? Sometimes, like, I remember one time I was in Hawaii shooting Magnum P.I., right? And the director's coming up to me and going, you know, he's giving me some sort of note. You know what I mean? Like, you know, well, you know, your character is coming in here, right? Because he wants this from this character. Mm-hmm. And this, all this stuff happened in the past. That's why you shouldn't be smiling right now. Right? And then I didn't say this, but I wanted to go, I don't know what's happening right now.
In the scene.
I don't know how I got here.
Yeah,
In general,
you know what I mean? I don't even know what you're, I didn't read it. I don't even know what this is about.
Yeah, but that's how, that's an ADD thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's an ADD thing because.
We're getting somewhere.
The problem with ADD is that you actually don't have a surge in dopamine. You have the opposite. So you have low dopamine.
Yeah.
See, exactly. Where it's like he's already on to the next.
No, I'm laughing at what you're saying.
What did she just say? What did she repeat what she just said?
Low dopamine, just what she said.
So if you had enough dopamine, that would appease your reward system. So you wouldn't be easily excitable by other shiny things, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So when the director is talking to you, right?
Yeah.
That it's not appeasing that reward system in your brain. Then your attention goes to like different parts that you'd rather be that are more excitable than the fucking chore that he's putting onto you.
Oh, that's what it is then.
Yeah, because you do view it as that. Work is very stressful for you. It's the same reason why I'm a procrastinator. And I think a lot of people who are like perfectionists are procrastinators. Mm-hmm. Is that we see it as like a chore and something to perfect. So it's very heavy in our heads. So we want to reduce that stressful time to about one day versus 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to like think of everything else to do. Like, for example, I get the most housework done when I have something big to do that day. Like when George tells me, edit the Patreon, for some reason, the laundry, the whole house is clean. Yeah, like everything gets done.
Keep doing that, George.
So because I would rather do that than anything else.
Yeah. But you see it, Gilbert, when we play Warzone together.
Oh my gosh. What an
experience. Don't know what's going on. Three guys are shooting me in the back. I'm shooting at a garbage can. You're yelling at me. What are you doing down there?
I don't know why I'm doing. Like when I first watched you play with Eric, I thought I was like, oh, Bobby, obviously, he's a goof. He knows how to play into the comedy. But then I realized playing with you, no cameras on us, just me, you, and your brother.
Yeah.
You are actually full of anxiety and a thing that's supposed to be escapism. You're supposed to enjoy the game, laugh with your friends. You are like literally have so much anxiety. It's almost like your father just died or something.
My brother and I laugh at each other because, and people laugh when they play with us because they're like, it's always, oh, we deserve to die. We're going to kill ourselves.
A lot of shame.
It's always shame. Yeah.
It's a lot of shame. This is why he's not a good candidate. I cannot stress to you guys, like, I'm sure there are women out there listening to this now who are like, no, it's fine. My boyfriend's a gamer and he actually, like, he's tolerable around the house. Like, my sister's boyfriend is a gamer, but he's quiet. For 14 hours, he just does his thing, even if it's games like Warzone or things like that that are, like, exciting. But him, we're about to get a fucking complaint from the neighbors any second now. You can hear him like the street over. Like if you walk into our driveway and into the street, like let's say you're just a passerby walking, you can hear his screams. Whoa. Like in his blood curling screams.
Do you hear me scream, George? I mean, not George, Gilbert.
Here, it's so crazy that we are describing. I don't get when I'm with him, so I'm curious who he's playing with that rousing him up because he's more quiet. He actually gets angry because we're all talking. That's why I'm curious. Mm-mm. Is it the people you play with?
Maybe at times, yeah. Maybe at times, but, you know, I do. There are times, but, you know, there are times where I'm trying to be mindful about it. Maybe when I'm playing with you, I'm more mindful about it. But, that game, I'm never going to be good at it. Steve's never going to be good at it. But the reason why I like it, it's the challenge of it.
It's fun.
It's fun in that way. It's challenging. It's like surviving and trying to figure out, you know what I mean, how to position myself.
Shoot a gun.
Yeah. Don't be like that. Don't be like that
you're
right
very,
now.
You're very good at
the
rockets.
The way you're doing it right
you're
now.
You're very good at rockets. Can I just say that?
I'm very good at rockets. Yeah.
And getting money.
But anyway, so this is where I got to. And I want to apologize to Jules. You know, because I guess I was being Friday at Bad Friends. I was being I was making sexual noises and people were weirded out by it.
I chomo.
You know what I mean? Child molester.
Yeah.
Right? Never number one, fact. Never molested anybody.
True.
Never. I've never molested anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't have the desire. That's not even an inkling. If I turn on Nickelodeon, I don't. Not even a half chub.
Hey, well, don't defend it too much. Don't defend yourself.
Shall we bring in Asa for the rest of this to get her opinion?
Oh yeah. Okay, so we should talk to Asa.
So we got to talk to Asa. So we have an old Tiger Belly fan friend. We have Tiger Belly friend.
Dear friend.
Dear, very good friend of ours. Okay, let me introduce her real quick. And then we'll have her on. And I'm going to introduce her.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, shit. She looks like Ringu. Hey, Asa, can you hear us?
What's up? Yeah, I can.
So, we don't have a lot of regulars on the show. But we have a lot of people, you know, and we maybe two people, right? And that we would consider maybe family. And she also helped us in the beginning build our audience. You know, I think that DVD ASA and Asa Akira catapulted us into doing Tiger Belly. And so we always going to pay homage to you and David, because we would have never done it without you guys.
Oh, geez.
And then when we started ours, you were a frequent guest.
And our first video guest.
Our first video guest. And we consider you a family here at the Tiger Belly family here. And we love you that much. Even though I texted you last week and it took you a day to text me back. You know, I'm going to let that go. I don't know what that was about. But she is our friend. She's a companion, somebody that we enjoy immensely. Give her a round of applause, Asa Akira.
Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, sorry.
That was actually like the nicest intro I've ever gotten, I think, for anything.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel the love from us or no?
Yes, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Can I tell you something? I knew that when I was texting George, I was like, hey, like just two things I don't want to talk about. I don't And I knew as I was texting that, I was like, there's no way this text is going to mean anything.
That's why
here's the thing that we do, Asa. If we don't want him to mention something, we just don't even mention it to him at all. Because the fact that you're telling him not to do something is 100% pushing him to say that one thing. It's a guarantee.
I remember like a couple times ago that I was on the show, I texted Kalilah right before the show and I was like, hey, just so you know, like I just got my eyebrows tattooed and they look really crazy. So like, sorry. And Kalilah specifically was like, no matter what, don't tell Bobby because he will point it out.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, a month
ago. In fact, that was the first thing he pointed out.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. As the show started. Yeah.
But a month ago, I was working with a friend and he had hair plugs. And he goes, don't mention my hair plugs. And I went the other direction. I just started bombarding him with a hair plug, you know. And then he got almost violent, you know. So then I thought to myself, maybe that's not the right thing to do.
Oh.
So, you know, we learn as we live. We learn as we live, my friend.
That's such a late lesson for you.
I know.
It's so funny. You would think that in therapy, they would teach him about people's boundaries. So far, they're only teaching about his own boundaries, but they're not telling him that other people have boundaries. So when people say, hey, this is my line, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to be a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, but when people go to medical school, they don't become a doctor right away. Am I not right? It takes 8 years of training. Yeah. So the first week, you probably learn about amoebas. You know what I mean? Amoebas probably. And how vessels work within the organism, within yourself.
The mitochondria. Right? And then
a year later, you learn about viruses and cancers, whatever it may be.
I have a question to you Americans. Was amoeba something that you heard a lot when you were younger?
And
like to get you sick?
It was a record store for me.
It was a record store, but I feel like I was always very bad in science, and amoeba is the word I know.
Right.
Because in the Philippines, you hear it a lot because we get amoebiasis a lot because we don't have a water system that we don't have drinkable water coming out of our faucets. So if you don't boil your water or if you don't drink bottled water, so amoebiasis is something that we got a lot of. So when you say amoeba, it's not a childhood record store that brings on good feelings. It's a very virulent thing.
Do you remember when you kind of shame me? Well, not shame me, but you said, how do you know what... How do you know what Bunsen burner is?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Right, but I thought about why I know that, and because I remember when I was in like middle school and I was in science class, I called it burner.
I actually don't know what that word is.
So it's like I don't know what it is.
In chemistry,
I don't know what it is, but I just know that. So I don't know what it is.
In chemistry class, Asa, it's that long thing that you light.
I took biology four times in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I don't know.
me either. But when they said, when they go, I go, so they said something about like, pick that thing up. I go, you mean the burner? And I remember the teacher going, Bunsen burner. And I remember me going, Bunsen burner in my head, you know what I mean, to memorize it.
So you got shamed twice about the Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
There's a point at which like shame is warranted. And for someone like Bobby, it's 50-50. There are times where you're like, you know what? I don't want to shame you. And other times when you're like, you absolutely need to be punished in the daylight. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, I understand.
Asa, when you were in high school, did you get good grades?
No.
Of course.
I got good grades up until I discovered like weed and boys and other drugs, I guess. But once I discovered all that stuff, like I graduated high school with a 0.4 GPA.
I know. Me too. My senior year, I had to take a zero period, a lunch period, and a seventh period. So I got there at like 6 a.m. I didn't leave till 5 p.m.
Oh, right? That's abuse.
And then when I graduated, right, they go, you can't do that because you didn't graduate because you have to take the summer school. I go, I know, but can I? I cried. I go, can I walk with everyone and just give me a diploma but don't put anything in it? And they go, because I had all these people from Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh.
I lied in the meeting saying that I want everyone to come to my graduation. and then the school says, you're not graduating. So then I cried because I knew all these like 20 dudes from my men's group.
No.
So then I remember this, graduating, you know what I mean, picking up my diploma, right? And I'm on the stage and I remember all my AA guys, they were like crying, so proud of me, right? But but I knew that I lied.
Hang on. What, is it one of the steps not to bamboozle people?
I bamboozled. I did the one step.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So yeah, so I'm along with you. They thought that I was never gonna make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny too. It's like, you know, they never tell you, right, Asa? High school, they never tell you the other jobs you could have.
Yeah.
Right? They never tell you. They go, you gotta be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, right?
You're so right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because if they would have tell you about the other jobs.
The other job. If they would have said, yeah, you could do fart jokes on stage as well, then I would be like,
what class
is
that?
I have a future, but I didn't feel like I thought I was gonna die in my 20s because I'm like, when am I can't be a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. You know what I mean? And then if I work as a waiter the rest of my life, I mean, it'll be fine, but
you need to spread that news.
I know. There are other jobs.
There are other jobs.
Here, why don't you guys make sure that you go to you go to Career Day and you talk about your jobs to elementary school kids.
Yeah. And then we can also show, you know, how much money. I mean, for
just
me.
Throw dollars at the kids.
You show your pay stub?
No. But you know what? Because I thought that I was in the when I was in Thailand, I walked by a store, and they were selling when they do cockfights with the roosters, and you know the cockfight, they have the little knives in
the knives.
At the end, yeah. Somebody makes knives, right, for the cockfighting, right? Like that's someone's job.
No, I have.
But when I was in high school, they didn't tell me that. They go, you can also be a cockfight knife maker.
Wait, but also like that's not to say that person might be like educated.
Oh, that's true.
Like that might be like a real like might be like a real like engineer.
A sculptor.
Oh yeah.
A knife maker. Knife makers are like legit. That's a legit
craft. All right, well I know. Maybe that was the wrong example.
So no offense to those people.
No offense to those people, yeah. But yeah, some people, so it's like, you know, we had this thing called peer counseling in high school. And then we also had, you know, a counselor designated to us to tell a career counselor, I guess. And I remember them going, maybe you could, are you good at wood shop? Like, you know what I mean? Because that's what they do with the stoners and the fucked up people. Like, like, you know, work with metals and stuff like that. And I was just like, I'm not good at that either. So, you know, but I think that Asa, you and I should have a curriculum. We go to schools. And we teach about either comedy or the adult entertainment business.
I think you should turn it into a show.
Yes.
Career Day.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's like a Queer Eye. It's like a feel-good show where you're able to, you know, extract dreams and ideas from kids and help them mold, help them shape their own, you know, their own idea of what they want to do versus just the standard doctor or, you know.
And yeah.
Call it Career Day. Asa, we have another question for you that's very important and we've been arguing about. So my niece, who is a high schooler, lives with us. We treat her like a daughter. She is somebody that we treasure. She's also just a very good... She does bad friends with...
She's also 18 years old.
She's 18, but she's still in high school. She's also... She just came here from the Philippines. How long have you been here, Jules? 2 years. 1 year.
1 year.
10 months.
Oh, she's right here.
Yeah, she's right here. She's a...
Come over here. Say hi to Asa, our friend.
So you have a visual with the store.
I have a visual.
Hi. Oh, wait. How do I make your screen bigger? Sorry. Wait, can you guys say something so that your screen is bigger? Because right now...
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
All right, sit back down. Sit back fucking down.
Jesus.
Okay, so she's not like we were in high school. Like I was sucking dick a lot in high school. In fact, you know how you had like a school counselor and they're supposed to teach you about that stuff, right? She'd be like, "Hey, for starters, how about stop sucking dick?" And that's the advice that I got from, you know, people in school. So
they gave me that advice as well.
She's not like us.
Okay.
She gets straight A's. She has a 4.0. She does everything without having, you know, without being told what to do. She just does it. She's a really good
girl. She's a good girl.
She's a good girl all throughout. She watches anime all day. Reads books. Doesn't date. doesn't really talk to boys. She has crushes, but you know. Like,
I'm like so curious where this question is going. Yeah. Like, where could it? How could I possibly answer a question for a person like this?
Bobby's part of the equation. We'll get there.
Yeah.
The three of us weren't Disney kids. Think of hers. She's a Disney girl. She's a Disney teenager.
The best.
So Bobby, she helps Bobby on his other podcast with Andrew Santino. And she is sort of the third mic, but she's just basically there to make sure that the show's like running well. And last week, Bobby started talking about her in like making like sexual noises and like speculating on how she masturbates and things like that.
No, I was saying this. OK, she has. Oh, no. Let me defend myself. Okay?
First of all, I just want to say, I believe Kalila. Continue.
Before any other arguments. Before, that's a like, decision.
Go ahead, but.
And that's why you're not a judge.
No that's career exactly day for you. Why, no career right? day for no, you.
Okay, so.
Okay, but I want to hear. Maybe so what I'll I was give you saying, a fair
shot. So she has a, she's into anime, and I'm into anime as well, and she likes a character from one of the animes, an anime called Haikyuu. And what's the character's name?
Kuro. She has a crush on an anime character. A volleyball player.
So I said to Andrew, you know, at nights, right? She's watching like anime.
No. Just okay.
No, let me finish.
I mean, I'm already judging me judge. So hard. Okay,
judge.
Continue. I'm sorry.
May I finish? Right. Yes. I have my time on the floor. Thank you, Judge.
Sustained.
Where did you hear that word from? Just for sure.
Law and order.
Excuse me, Judge. May I finish my point? So she's, you know that she's, you know, at night watching anime, and then you can hear probably quick noises, and she's masturbating to anime. I thought that would have been a funny little.
But it wasn't just a quick thing. He went on and on and on for like basically six different times on the podcast, and he kept talking.
Look. Also, how is that any different than what Kalila said?
it's literally what she said.
I've seen law shows. Right? I've seen law shows where the defense attorney, right? It's his turn to go onto the, you know, the platform, however they say it, and you can tell that he's up against, you know what I mean? Up against it. There's no really defense, but he tries. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I know, Your Honor, that, you know, my client, you know, had, you know, the victim's dick in his mouth that he had severed off, right? And that they found the family underneath his house, you know what I mean? But he really wasn't there. I mean, they try to do a defense.
Circumstantial evidence.
Right? So that's what I just did, all right? I had to defend myself. So
what's the question, though?
The question is, like, basically, I've, you know, she's 18. We've allowed her to have this little, like, side job. I don't want, I don't want him to exploit her in that way, because I feel especially protective of her, because I do take on like a mother role, and I feel like Bobby should as well. And for me to think that a 50-year-old father figure would speculate about what his teenage daughter masturbates to is creepy.
But Your Honor, may I make a point? Your yes, Honor, may ahead. I make a point? Okay,
wait,
Your
hold on. Look at Juliana. Disdain. She's nodding.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Your Honor, I have a point, and I just thought of the point, Your Honor. All right? Is that it is not against the law, is it, to do that?
It's not against the law.
No, it isn't. Your Honor, this is about the law, right? This is about the law, right? Right?
It's
This is we're doing a court thing.
Okay, hang on. I just have one more point to make.
No, but if we were talking about the law, we wouldn't even be talking about it on Tiger Belly.
Exactly. We're lawless. But there are certain laws within that lawlessness. In the wild, wild west, true, there are still things that are acceptable and unacceptable, right? So for me, if you don't inherently know, if that's not your instinct to say, hey, you know what? I want to protect my niece or my daughter, then you've got some weird Woody Allen shit that you need to sort out in therapy.
Oh, really?
And wait, so that's too far. Thank you so much.
Kalila tried to sneak that in there. Come on, Asa. Help me out.
No, just like, only because, okay, here, this is where you'll see that I am a fair judge. Because I don't think it's fair to say, to compare you to Woody Allen, because Woody Allen allegedly, like, raped.
Oh, he did. Mm. He didn't just date
her? And that's
her?
Different.
Look at Kyle playing innocent.
Well, I don't actually, I'm not sure if he raped or just like molested, but
Woody Allen also, that's his stepdaughter, right?
Adopted.
That he adopted.
Adopted daughter, right?
That he adopted, right? Yeah. Raised, right?
And also, she was underage.
Right, and married her, and is fucking her.
Yeah, but
right?
I think that you're
I think
right,
there's
also
a far difference between that.
Oh, wait, hold
and
on.
Going,
I wasn't even talking about that one.
Oh, shit.
I was talking about Mia Farrow's kid.
Oh.
Yes.
I see.
So anyway.
Yeah.
We basically associated Bobby with a sex
But I see what you're saying, though. Like, Kalila, I agree that it's unacceptable.
All right, fine. So I lost the hearing, and I want to say this: I will treat her like she's a 12-year-old girl, right?
That's not what I'm saying. You don't infantilize her.
No, you get one or the other.
No,
either I treat her like my friends and like my peers and like how I treat everyone else. Or you treat her like she's a kid.
There's a way to empower.
I'm not doing a third
Listen,
thing.
Listen, there's a way to empower a young girl sexually. My thing is, I don't want to protect her from the elements of life. Like, when I talk to her, I want to empower her sexually. She's a growing girl, whatever. I don't want to suppress that about her. I just don't think that it's your place to publicly talk about her squirting. Like, that's just weird to me.
It's not a factual thing that she did it. It was a hypothetical thing. And I want to kind of defend myself too. Andrew Santino then said to the audience, right? Send her dick pics. And then she got two dick pics on her fucking, right? We had dinner the other night. And she goes, Uncle Tito, look, right? And there's a big 90-year-old man's dick, hard. He's just like, right? And she's getting those fucking pics. How am I on the fucking, you know, in the guillotine and Andrew Santino's not?
Because Andrew Santino was visibly uncomfortable when you were making the squirt noises. And I think he was just trying to kind of come up with something less, like the lesser evil, which dick pics really are pretty horrible. But because everyone can send them and it's sort of this like, it's not a relationship between you as dad and her as daughter. It's a random stranger sending an unsolicited picture of a dick. Like, that's not...
It's also likely he wouldn't have said that if you hadn't, like, made squirting noises.
Exactly.
Okay, you know what? I realized my wrongs doings. I did.
I think that also...
No, let me finish what
Wait,
I'm going to
say. Who are you?
Are you framing yourself, sir?
I realize my wrongs doings, all right? I feel extremely guilty for doing it. And now that you say that, I want to legitimately become her father then.
That's even creepier the way he said that.
No. I'm going to legitimately become your father. And I'm your daughter. Excuse me, daughter, right? I'm your father now.
You're fucking her up. You know she has daddy issues too.
All right. Fine.
How does she feel about it? Like, does she...
Jules, do you feel uncomfortable when people talk about you in that way and that you can't, like, protect yourself or, like, have a comeback?
Were you offended that I said that about the anime? Be real. Be honest.
Uncomfortable.
Was it uncomfortable?
Kind of, but I also know that you didn't.
Yeah, so she says... It's uncomfortable, but she also knows that that's not what he means. Like, that's not what, like, yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, I totally get that. Because, like, I think to know Bobby is to, like, not take those things personally, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, the reality is, like, you put it out there for the world. So.
Yeah.
Like, that's still a fact.
That is a fact, all right?
Damn, Judge.
That is a fact, all right? But you also, can I just defend myself in this way?
Oh God, we're still in
defense. We're still.
Wait, I thought you were sorry.
I thought you already admitted that you lost.
But no, I gotta fight my way out. All right, I have to fight my way out. All right. I've never been around children.
All right. It sounds like you have been around all children. Your Honor, I've never seen a child.
That's like saying, like,
For sure,
when
children.
A racist person says, like, I see no color.
I see no color.
That's the same exact thing.
Yeah. It's like when Trump goes, hey, there's my African-American friend.
Yep.
It's like, you're racist, I think. Yeah. You're all right. I apologize, Your Honor. I know my wrongdoing. Whatever the sentence is, I accept it.
What is the sentence, Asa?
There's no sentence.
The sentence is like, don't do it.
I won't. Thank you. I will not do it again. All right. Honestly, Jules, what? You don't look. Just look at me when
I'm
talking to
you. It's uncomfortable for her to even hear that we're like.
I know.
Yeah.
I understand that.
About this.
Listen. I. You know what? I have to say something. I do. I enjoy your company. You've done so much help around the house, right? You clean. You put away my English muffins and stuff. And also, I find you to be very funny and a nice person. And you know, I do love you. And I do view you as you know, at least a niece. You know what I mean? Like blood. Like you're part of my family. So I will never do that again. I apologize. And I've changed my ways. I've just you know, in a comedy podcast, I just throw things out there, you know, and sometimes it goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have cut that portion out, you know?
Damn, Bobby, you. What's going on with you? You're like a different person.
Because I've been in therapy and, you know, we haven't seen each other in a while. Lots happened since we last talked.
I guess.
Yeah.
Asa, since our days doing DVD ASA on your show, do you find that we are completely different people now?
No.
You, myself, Bobby, or do you think at our core we're just the same degenerates?
No, I think you're the same degenerates, but what Bobby displayed right now, I don't think changes who he is, but it was like a very like mature and beautiful way to handle that, I thought.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Course correction.
Now
I view you really differently.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that there's something so rounded out about you now.
Wait, you view me differently?
Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, obviously at our core, you're somebody that I can talk about anything and you would never judge it. So that part will always sort of stay like degenerate. Like that's the club we belong in. But I think that you've rounded out so differently. Like there was a part of you that was a bit nihilistic around Dave.
Okay.
Whereas now I think that you hold things sacred. Like, I don't know. I view you in like a really like a high regard now. Like I did back then, but differently in like a way where you're like, oh my God, she is a woman to be like reckoned with in
That's
all
so
the right
nice.
Ways.
Yeah. And also,
I feel so shy that you said that. Thank you.
I know we don't want to get, I don't want to get too deep into motherhood, but what has that been like?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you feel like that since I had a kid or like,
no,
I
started to feel that way about you even before when you started like propagating plants where I'm like, she's different.
Yeah.
She knows how to keep plants green, which for me is like the ultimate, like the ultimate test of like human skill.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right though. I have changed.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Like, I definitely have changed since like the DVD ASA days. Like you said, I don't think like the core of me is different, but I think a lot of it is just like I grew up. Oh, also, I'm in therapy.
We're all in therapy. Yeah, we're all there. We're all there.
Even Dave, like everyone's in therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dave is in like a whole other level of therapy.
Yeah. Well, you know, the place that Dave went, right, in Arizona, that's where I went because I was losing it. And I was there for, what, 2 weeks?
A week. He calls it the institution. But
the institution.
It was far from that. It was
Were already- there any other celebrities there?
Yeah. Big ones.
Oh!
And I can't tell you.
I know. You can't.
I can't tell
you.
But there was
I know some.
I know, but I know me too. I was in a group. Okay, so I was in. So my group was about 8 people, whatever. So then a 9th came in one morning. It was like 7 in the morning. And I was. And when he walked in, I started getting goosebumps from my head to my toe. I can't tell you.
Oh, your audio. Your audio, Asa.
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Were they A-list?
Yes.
Beyond, yeah.
Beyond.
Yeah, yeah, beyond.
Can you just tell me, like, what category of fame? Like, athlete,
God,
musician, Hollywood.
Oh, okay, yeah. Musician, and I would have to say probably Beatles level.
Yeah. Old or young?
I can't. Nah, that's it.
Oh, my God. I know who it is.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You know, can I tell you why and don't reveal anything?
Okay, yeah.
I think they're young, and that's why you can't say, because if you say they're young, we'll know who it is.
Yeah, but who's young and at Beatles level? Think of that. Like, story. Iconic.
I mean, like can I
like
just
throw
it?
Out a name yeah. that just probably isn't the person. And I'm going to say, I'm going to say who's bigger and who's not.
Okay, fine. You might have to bleep it out.
Okay,
Bieber? Go ahead.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think that Bieber's more of a pop star. I'm talking about, like, critically acclaimed, you know what I mean? Like, 30-year, like, legendary status.
Well, you just gave it away of 30-year legendary status. The fact that he's old.
All right, that's all I'm going to get into. That's all I'm going to get into. But when he walked in, right? When he walked in, I know. Oh my God. When he walked in, I started getting chills from
Are
my body.
Are they American?
Chills. Fuck you. Chills. Yes.
Oh my god.
Chills from my head to my toes. And I turned to the guy next to me, this guy, and I go, oh my God.
Hey, y'all.
Oh my God. How am I supposed to talk about anything else after this?
Yeah.
Well, we have to, because this is edited out.
Oh, no. You think the whole thing is?
No, I'll figure it out because I don't know, like, how many. I have to listen back to see how many clues you actually dropped.
Right. But you're never going to guess it.
I don't think you're going to guess it.
I have a question
give you,
for you guys.
I would give you 10, you know. Wait, let's do it now. Why not? Throw out some
10
names.
10 people?
Yeah, I'll give you 10 guesses.
But hold on. Will we confirm
I'm not
going to
confirm it, but I'll tell you later.
Billy Joel.
If you can tell by my face, man, I don't know. But go. Billy, no.
Well, don't too much. Don't do too much to your face.
I'm trying to think. American? Everything I'm thinking of is British. Is it right. Is a Rolling Stone?
That's British.
Oh.
Awesome. That's fucking British. What the fuck are you talking about?
Paul McCartney?
Yeah. Is Liverpool in Nevada?
Lionel Richie?
But you know what? Interesting. No, they're not. But those are interesting choices because that's at the level is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Which in my mind, I'm like, how the fuck don't you know, you fucking retards in the room? But they don't. And I did, from morning to night, therapy galore. I did this thing called EMDR. And I went into a past trauma event. And I was in this therapy room. And I ended up throwing the chair across the room. And then it hit a wall where there was another hole, right? And I go, right, so I go, oh, I'm sorry, I made a hole in the wall next to that hole. And he goes, oh, yeah, your friend made that hole.
The friend we were just talking about?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they never patched it up?
No, they knew that it was my friend. They knew that we were connected in that way.
Crazy.
Right? But I go, and he goes, it was like the same kind of thing that you have. So it was weird.
Whoa. Wait, yeah, that's kind of bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. Yeah, it is. It
like,
is kind of.
No offense to you guys and your trauma, but that's kind of cute.
Yeah. It is kind of cute. I felt, you know, also I sat down and I went, oh.
I wonder if that's a thing where, you know, like EMDR, you're supposed to like process your traumas and then so that they feel like it kind of forces your brain to heal and not react to things presently as if you were still stuck in that trauma, right? I wonder if that's like lifted off of you or when you walk out of there, you know, you do feel a little lighter, right? Like I know I do, like after I do the brain spotting thing. But there's this weird thing that I felt where I kind of miss the suffering because it's a new feeling for me to not feel it because it was such a weight I carried on my back for so long that I wonder if it's a thing where you become so attached to that suffering that now you feel a little bit less of yourself. Like you feel a little bit less like yourself because it's a familiar thing to have, right? And that's why like people with traumatic events in their life, like we seek other experiences and things that are very intense because that's our baseline. We've lived a lot of intense experiences in that trauma when you're younger, so we that's what's familiar. So that familiar thing on my back, I can't figure out if I miss it or if I don't know how I feel about it. It's not,
that makes total sense because yeah. Like even on a much lighter level, like not trauma, but like, I mean, even think about like how we repeat the relationships with like our parents over and over in our romantic relationships. Like just even if it's not like good, it's just like comfortable, I guess.
It's a skin that you've been wearing for so long. And then when you put on a different outfit or a different skin, it's going to feel like, number one, it might not fit exactly. It feels weird, but it's the healthier skin. And you're just going to have time to adjust to it. But I felt the same way. I mean, when I relapsed and I was out there, that felt immediately comfortable for me. The nihilistic, you know, doom of my life, you know, and I'm a piece of shit. And that whole, that tape that I've been saying all my life, that you're worthless, you're a piece of shit, it's all your fault, you're nothing, you know? And so when I was relapsed and I was there, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. But then immediately I put on the other skin, which is, I'm not a piece of shit, it's not my fault, right? I'm, in my heart, I'm a good guy, and I love the people around me, and I wanna be loved. Mm-hmm. It feels cheesy and it feels weird at first, but after time, after I went to that place and after I got out, it felt more comfortable being that. So there's different suits that we wear, but that's what you're feeling, I think.
Yeah.
Has it affected your comedy?
It's, I mean, to her, I don't know, but she saw me when I was high at the Comedy Store. And she goes, I was terrible.
I think, Asa, that like from where I stand, he was starting to get redundant for me and he was no longer really making me laugh. And I knew that that was a result of a bunch of things. Like it was obviously like a bunch of moving parts, but part of it was he was like stuck on a loop, stuck in a loop with his own pain, with his own everything, but it just kind of just, he stayed there. And then once he was ready to kind of like, be better, be healthier, like it just became exponentially funnier to me. And I you know, that whole idea of where like your talent comes from the damaged part of yourself, like doesn't always, it's not the case. Like they tell you, I think people tell themselves that because it's a soothing thing where it's like, I'm funny because I was hurt. And it's like, no, that's you, that's something you were born with.
Like it's a good
I've met your mother. Yeah, like your mother is hilarious. Like it's in your blood. It was always going to be there. In fact, who knows? Like maybe if you didn't endure that much trauma, like you could have been 50 times funnier. You could have
I believe that. You know, when I went to that place, a therapist said that I was born with these born skill sets. Because I was telling him that I think maybe the reason why I do comedy is because I was in pain and I got beat up and all that bad things happened. That it was a defense mechanism. He goes, no. That thing that you have, you were born with, right? And it was you would have been dead without it. He goes, without comedy and your skill set of being funny, right? Most people like you, they vanish and they do horrible things and they repeat, you know. But you had this one thing that you stuck with that saved you. Because it's like, imagine like having, not going to college, not having any dreams or goals really, and also living with all that trauma in my body and all that stuff. You know, I went, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, this is the only thing I know how to do, this. And that gave me a career and I was able to wear these masks to protect and to hide from people because I was like this comedian guy. But deep down inside, I only have that and the pain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it saved me, he said, you know? So I thank God for that. But when I was born, I think that if I was given love and nurturing, if they nurtured me and they didn't give me violence and they listened and I wouldn't have these like weird like defense mechanisms and quirks that I have, and and these fears, that I would have been way more successful, I think.
Oh, interesting. That's like, I was watching that Dave Chappelle documentary, or not documentary, his latest, or no, I'm sorry, it was when he won the award, that Mark Twain award or whatever. And like, they were showing, you know, him with his mom and how his mom like used to like drive him to the comedy club, and she was so supportive, and like he had this like kind of a, like not a terrible upbringing. And it just like made me realize like, oh, like there are hilarious people that aren't like in, you know, these victims or like survivors of trauma.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at, I can rattle off 30 guys that are super great and have great careers that had great lives. You know, like Sebastian Maniscalco, great parents, great life, great guy. You know,
Chris D'Elia,
same thing. You know, I just happen to have a different circumstance that, but you know, it is my life, and I've accepted it, and I, you know, I'm not bummed about it anymore. It is what it is, and I also learned a lot. You know, growing up, you know, I'm proud of myself in many ways. This is going to be really weird to say, but I'm proud of myself that because I now vividly see the way I was raised, that I'm in awe that I was able to navigate to here, navigate my life to here. And I think there is, I have to give myself props that I have some sort of resilience in that, that I was able to survive all that and still carve out a life for myself. So, I mean, those are little things that I say to myself now, you know, to empower myself or to get myself out of bed, you know, is that, you know, Bob, I know that, you know, all these things that you say, you guys make fun of me all the time, that I don't know how to do nothing and all that stuff, and you guys try to shame me. But I want to defend myself in the sense that I think at the core, Bobby Lee is a good guy. He was an innocent kid, and that I am still growing as a person. And I'm going to defend myself. I'm a good guy. So go fuck yourselves. you guys, go fuck yourselves for trying to put me in a
Are you retracting your earlier apology?
I do. I retract it. Fuck you.
Jewel.
Asa. What about you, Asa? I know
I'm in couples therapy and I love it.
Do you feel like it's easy? It's easy. Are there... Do you have like big revelations where you're like, oh my God, Eureka, you've said it, you know, like, are there, like, we walk out of it feeling good, but we're not always able to apply it. Like, are you guys like, really good about like applying everything that?
No, like for us, like we've been doing couples therapy since like pretty much the beginning of this round of our relationship, because we've been together before in the past. So like we've been doing couples therapy every week for like 3 years.
Wow. I think that's so important.
Sometimes more. Like if there's like an issue, sometimes more. And honestly, like I think every couple should do it. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, you know, for us, we're at the point now where like, of course we still get into like the cycle of arguing and, you know, we'll just like never resolve anything because like we're both just, you know, in the cycle. But like we've learned, I think at this point, we like are really good at like shelving a problem. And we're like, let's just talk about it in therapy this week.
Oh,
and then we can just, and like just knowing that, like we both feel validated and will eventually be heard. So for us, it's like really easy to like move on with our day and keep getting along and not like fall apart over this one issue, because it's like there's a time and place for us to both be heard and we'll both feel validated and we will like find empathy in each other. And like we've, I think, learned to like trust the process, as corny as it sounds.
Yeah. I knew I could trust the process when in the beginning of quarantine, you know, when things were really kind of uncertain still, like people didn't know how contagious this thing was. And Bobby, even in the beginning of lockdown, he kind of just wanted to go about his life as usual. Like he wanted to, and I was worried about him. I was genuinely worried, like he is a smoker. I don't want him to get sick, whatever, whatever. So that was really like a heavy thing in my mind. So I kept, so to keep him in the house, I would buy everything he wanted. Like if it was Luminati's pizza delivered from Chicago, if he wanted like, you know, restaurant quality katsu, I would cook everything from scratch. Like pasta from scratch, like bucatini from scratch. Ooh. Everything to make him want to stay. And when we went to therapy and I said, you know, I feel like I'm trying so hard to get him to stay, so I'm buying, I'm like basically a fucking Michelin star restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then she asked Bobby, she was like, what's more important? She's like, what's making you stay is what she asked him. She's like, is all of her doing that making you want to stay? And he goes, yes, I want to stay because she's providing this, like all this food and stuff. She's like, then I'm worried about your relationship. Because if her fears and her concerns and her feelings are not enough for you to stay, but pizza is enough for you to stay, you should just end it now. And wow. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's so real.
So, yeah. So I started ordering my own stuff. I got on Gold Belly. I have 6 pizzas coming in 2 days, and I have also clam chowder from New England coming in the Ooh. Bread bowls.
I mean, Gold Belly is so dangerous.
It's so great. So I just
they should sponsor us because we really, really, we burn.
Oh, this isn't even a sponsored thing.
No, it's not.
This is all fake. It's sponsored.
So I want to ask one final question. So, because I haven't really talked to you since you had your baby. Mm-hmm. Has it been a life changer? Like, you know how everyone says
to her. This he has dementia and he is kind of going into the Alzheimer's thing, Asa. So just forgive him. We have asked her in. Exhausting.
No, it's different now because the baby's what, 2?
Let me tell you something. You have asked me before, but it is also different now.
That's what I'm asking. I asked you before.
When I first had a baby, I was like, okay, this feels like, I kept saying like, it feels like I got a puppy. Like it was very like I love him. He's cute. I want to take care of him. I love him so much. But like, it wasn't like, I didn't feel any of the cliche things where it was like, oh my God, this is totally different than anything. Like it's unconditional, blah, blah, blah. It's changed me as a person. But now it's been like, what, like a year and a half almost. And like, I do feel different. And I do feel like it's changed me. And like,
but why?
I'm on a new level.
Why? Like, why? Tell me what happened.
I don't know if I already talked to you guys about this because it sounds like something I would talk to you guys about, but, and I don't know if I've ever said it out loud, but like, I used to think like, okay, for example, like if I had a child that was, let's say a little person, okay, or deformed in some way or mentally challenged or whatever, I did question if I could love that child. Like I wasn't sure like if I had it in me to like, or like maybe I would feel like a failure or whatever. But like now that I have a kid, I can absolutely see like if anything were wrong with him, like I would love him even more. Like I love him that much. And just like, I could cry just thinking about it. Like I don't know. Like it's all the cliche things are true for me now. Like
I know that's what it's going to be like. I want to have a baby too.
But let me tell you, it's so much fucking work. And like,
oh, fuck, then no.
Like how hard it is because like the first few months, like I was really hormonal and really anxious and really depressed and it was really hard. And the fact that like no one had told me that that's probably going to happen, not just might happen, but probably happen, like people need to know that because it's really scary and it's the worst I've ever felt in my life. The first
I'm assuming that when once the kid starts processing who you are, mm-hmm. and it starts communicating, that's what makes it even more intense, or the love. Is that what it is?
I think so. Because in the beginning, they're just like a cute blob, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They really don't do anything, and all they do is like need you. So it's
like solid cum. Yeah, like a more girthy cum.
There it is. Father of the year.
Father of the year.
Girthy cum.
Girthy cum.
Actually, that wasn't the last question.
No, but I'm not done with this though.
Okay, go ahead.
This line. So then, at what point did your child start going, Mommy?
I don't know.
But one day your son said Mommy, right?
Yeah, but it's still, that's still like touch and go. Like right when I think he grasps it, like he like completely stops saying mama.
So yeah, because I know, but when he sees you in the morning, right? Does he get excited?
Yeah. It's moments like that are like.
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying.
It's, I have to say, like, there were so many parts of me that doubted whether or not I want to do this. And like, if I could like go back in time and show myself how I feel now, like I would have done it in a heartbeat. But also I can really see how I keep thinking like if I had done this with any other man I had been with, it would have been a fucking nightmare just because like one, because of who I was, I hadn't done my therapy. I hadn't like processed my shit, my side of the street, as you say. And then like also, just like being in couples therapy, like I really, this sounds like a fucking ad for therapy, but like it's changed everything. And like, I don't understand how people have kids without therapy now. Like we would have broken up 100 times, 100%, like more than 100 times. Wow. Like it's so hard. There's so many hard moments.
Mm. Okay, ask your question.
Are you all caught up on Terrace House?
Yes.
Did you hear about Hannah?
Yes. So
can you update our viewers?
So there's this girl on Terrace House. She's I actually loved her on the show. In the first part of the show, I felt like everyone was sort of a dud and really boring. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Terrace House was going downhill. But in comes this girl. She's a professional wrestler. With pink hair, and I think in the beginning she had dreads. She was just a ray of fucking sunshine, and she had never experienced love. So she was there on the show to find love for the first time. She's what, 21 years old?
Oh wow!
And she passed away over the weekend, and I think that it was a suspected suicide. That she was really depressed, and that she was really
confirmed.
What is that?
I think it was a confirmed suicide.
Oh really?
I think like she actually like they found her suicide note. I don't know. I'm getting a mix between like American news and Japanese news. But like in Japan, they're not saying anything about they weren't saying anything about suicide until they found the note. So they found the note. She was 22 years old. And apparently like she posted some pictures on Instagram like before she passed
with her cat.
And also, like, I guess they took it down right away, but, like, there were photos of her, like, with her wrists cut. So it was, like, I think it's, like, pretty much known that it was a suicide.
Oh, no. But
she's so young, and they're saying, like, it was due to the online bullying from the show Terrace House.
Mm-hmm. It was really?
Yeah, I thought it was from, like, the wrestling world because, like, she, I guess, like, in the wrestling world, I don't know what it's called, but, like, you know how, like, there's villains and, like, heroes?
Yeah.
She's a villain. So, like, obviously, like, the wrestling crowd is, like, you know, talking a lot of shit online and stuff. So I thought that's what it was. But no, apparently she had, like, been experiencing a lot of, like, cyber bullying. Like,
but that's so strange because she was she was the likable one on the show besides, you know, Violet, Vivi.
But also, like, I think you and I are not caught up because we don't get all the episodes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because they're ahead of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I don't know. Like, also, like, I wonder what happens to the franchise. Like, are they?
I think they just move on because you know when Caroline Flack. I don't know if you watch trash TV like me. I watch Love Island, but when she passed away, she was a host of Love Island. Like, they just delayed the show by a week, and then you know they're cold-blooded like that. They don't give a shit. It's a hit show. But you know how Asa and I are talking about Terrace House and you guys couldn't give a shit? That's how I feel about video games. When you guys go on and on.
But still,
I care. I've watched the Hawaii
one. It doesn't matter. When you're talking about Terrace House, I'm Hawaii still not berating you. I'm going, I'm stepping back and going, that's their thing.
I don't berate you. I go, mm-hmm.
I was laughing because you might have to cut this out, but I had a comedic thought about suicide in my head.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, you shouldn't say it now.
Yeah, we don't need to know.
All right, I won't say it then.
We'll say it as long as it doesn't pertain to this particular person. If it's a suicide in general.
But my thought is that, you know how sometimes they go, we don't know if it's a suicide. And then a week later they go, oh, we found the note. It's like, if I kill myself, I'm going to put the note right here. What are they putting them in a drawer? Or what are they hiding it behind a rock in the back? No, if I kill myself, the notes are on my head.
Well, now we know where you're not going to blow your own head off. Because what if you blow your head off and then you fucking, the note is then splattered with blood and then.
Or you know what? I'll stigmata it.
Yeah, like the wind blows it or something.
I would try to stigmata the note in my body and so they could read it off of my body. You know how sometimes when you're possessed, they write you like an exorcist.
Okay, I have another question.
Help, but I would write, dear Steve.
What about if your body is not found for another week and it's decomposed and now the stigmata message is no longer readable?
Interesting.
That's true. That's understandable. Right.
But we encourage people not to do it ever. So.
Yeah. Or you could do with a suicide.
Hold on a second. You know, one of our sponsors is BetterHelp, right? The therapy thing. We shouldn't talk about.
No. That's good. That's true. Go to BetterHelp.com/belly. BetterHelp.com/belly.
Anyway, also, please be more of a frequent guest on our podcast.
I'll come on your show literally whenever.
Okay. Are you sure? Because, you know, sometimes it feels like you're too busy and you're hard to get a hold of.
You know what's crazy is, like, during this whole quarantine stuff, like, I've been doing, like, so much. I'm not used to working every day. Like, I'm just not. Like, in my entire adult life, I've never worked every day. I've always had a job where it's, like, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, maybe. But right now I'm working every single day, which is, like, insane. So I'm actually, like, very, very busy. Like, I'm doing a show for Pornhub on their Instagram and then just, you know, like, shooting a lot of content for my Pornhub page and, you know, stuff like that. So
Is Pornhub really, really raking in the dollars extra during this quarantine?
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't get that kind of information. I can say that, though, like, my personal Pornhub page has not seen an increase or a decrease. So I think a lot more people are probably watching porn right now, but those aren't necessarily the people that are paying for porn.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people are watching porn for free and that makes sense. So, you know, but I feel really, really fortunate to, like, be in, like, an industry where I can make money right now because so many people can't.
I have one more question that might be verge on inappropes, but... I have, what advice would you give to, let's say, a 13-year-old girl who is curious about sex and whatnot, who types in porn on the YouTube search engine? Like, if you had a daughter and you can tell that she's wanting to look for it online, and it's cute that she types in porn on YouTube, but what do you tell her?
I mean, like, if it were me, I would, like, if it were my kid, you know, it's more than, like, what I would tell them, like, because I definitely want to, like, spread the vibe that, like, it's perfectly natural to feel sexual and to be curious about sex and to want to see porn. Like, I think that's very, very normal. And, like, I didn't grow up thinking that was normal, so I felt super ashamed about it. I think it's more, though, like, more than, like, what we say about that, I think it's more, I would make sure that 13-year-old girl had sexual education aside from porn, you know what I mean? Like, I would want to inform her about safe sex, consent, STDs, and just, you know, how natural and normal it is for all of us to be sexual human beings.
Yeah, that's what I've been, this girl lives in a very, like, deeply Catholic country where there's no sex ed. So the only sex ed they get is, here's a penis, here's a vagina. That's ripped.
And that's so dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, like, imagine, like, especially, like, imagine a boy who's raised like that sees a gangbang porn and thinks, like, oh my God, this is, like, what I'm supposed to be doing to women. Like, No, but if that boy were taught that, you know, some people enjoy stuff like this, some people don't, and you can decide for yourself if you do when you're older, like, all that stuff is like, you know, I think it's, I think
if,
it's,
I, if I was a teenager, I was in a gangbang, I don't think I would say no.
Wait, isn't that how you lost your virginity? You were ninth in line?
Yeah, but that was, wait, oh, yeah, I was ninth in line, yeah.
Out of how many?
Nine.
of eight.
He was nine out of
eight. I'm the caboose every time.
Hold on, wait. Yeah.
He didn't even fuck a vagina. He just fucked a fucking puddle of cum.
How old were you? Can you say, are we allowed to say things like that?
17.
And who, yeah. Were you gangbanging?
No, it was like you had to wait in line like it was Disneyland or something.
Like okay.
I didn't have a fast pass.
And yeah. Who decides who goes first?
It was bigger to smaller.
The jocks? No, but in weight, right?
Oh, no, you were in a gangbang with the jocks? That's pretty cool.
No, I was on the wrestling team. It was like the wrestling team.
Wait, Chad went up first. Chads.
All yeah, the yeah. Chads. John, Dennis's.
Yeah. And then
the Bryans with an I.
And then the Jose's. And then the Jose's and the Pedro's. And then the, you know what I mean?
Then Tomiko,
and the Tomiko's and the Tang Tangs.
And were the
Sangu. Sangu
number
were
nine.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was, I've never even been in a gangbang in real life.
I haven't either.
I have.
Bobby bit. Bobby wins.
Yeah.
Who orchestrates that?
Like, it wasn't something that, it wasn't like, you know, a production.
Like a meetup.com.
Yeah, there wasn't like a pre-production meeting.
But how? Like I would have loved to get gangbanged in real life.
No, you're at a party, right? It's one in the morning, you're in high school, there's a party, and a bunch of guys get in line, you go, hey, can I? Right? And then they go, you're at the end. So I just waited in line at the end.
But who would say, hey, can I?
Bobby did.
I do. I'm polite.
Consent king.
Yeah, because I don't want to. I don't. The worst.
Polite. Like I. When I think we ever see two people fucking and think, can I?
No. I think the girl was just like, yeah, you all guys can't. I think I asked the girl, hey, can I get? You know what I mean? And she's like, yeah. Because I don't. The worst would be is to get in the line, be the last guy, she's and like, then come up to the girl and have her go.
I was down with it until this guy came along.
And then I'd just be like. I would walk away real sad, I think. Yeah.
And in front of everyone, too.
Yeah. Anyway, also, we love you so much, and we want to see you more often, okay?
Yes.
Okay. And I love you so much. We love you.
I love you guys.
And you want anything to plug or anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I'll plug Things I Wish I Could Instagram.com. That's my Pornhub page.
Yep.
And also, I just started a free OnlyFans, and that's just freenudes.org, and I'm just posting free nudes every day.
Yeah, freenudes.org, freenudes.org. Baby. Congratulations on your child. Congratulations on your relationship. Congratulations
to you guys.
Thank you so much, and I love
and
you.
On your home.
On the home. Thank you. But next time you're here, we'd like you to come by. Okay.
It's really fucking nice.
It's good. Bye, Asa.
Bye. See you, Asa. Thank you, guys.
So this comes on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. During the day or at night?
Morning.
You still don't know when your own podcast comes on?
So guys, so it's Wednesday morning, and nosotros papaya to you. Yeah. Science alert, all that stuff. But some people think that maybe I'm a corporate whore for doing a game show, but it airs tonight, CBS. It's called Game On. And I want to say, you know, everyone knows my dad had just died. I was high. I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to keep in the show. Maybe they'll cut around some of my mishaps. But I really enjoyed working on with all those great people. But watch it tonight if you can. But watch it with a certain lens, if you may. You know, that's coming from your captain. Mm-hmm. Your captain needs a little help. But online, you guys have been great on all the Game On stuff. You guys are saying nosotros papaya, Bobby Lee, and I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I love you guys for your support. I really do. I love you guys deeply, so deeply. But let's do an unhelpful advice, huh? Why don't we do that, Gilbert? Go ahead.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby and Kalila. Dear Slept Kingdom, I am a longtime listener and first-time submitter, so thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I have become aware that I am a very difficult person to help. In a way, I believe it has to do with my father and the way he raised me. Whenever he would do something for me, whether it be financial gift or job opportunity or even something as simple as a meal, I would be beholden to him in some sort of way that far outweighed what he initially did for me. For example, when I was in college, my car broke down and I couldn't get to school. He sent me money to get it fixed on the premise that I would go and work for him on the weekends at his business. Since I live in another city, an hour and a half away, I quickly realized the cost of his good deed was more than the repair was worth and actually put me further into debt than just having my vehicle fixed myself. Since then, I have not accepted any help from him because he'll expect something out of me in return. This has made me apprehensive to accept help in any way, even when I'm struggling. How do I humble myself and accept help from people who care about me? P.S. Be nicer to Rudy about helping her out and providing opportunities for her, because I feel like she'll end up like me.
Oh, Jules, I wish you heard that part.
Well, this guy also just nicer wants to date Rudy. You. That's to you, bud. This guy's name is Chad.
Chad. Okay, let me say something. There are sometimes I've asked money from people and borrowed money back in the day, and people ask so much. Like, I remember this guy Scott goes, "You need money? You got to clean my house." Mm-hmm. I go, "How much?" He goes, $100. Mm-hmm. So I go, "Oh yeah," but then I went to his house. He's a hoarder.
Oh gosh!
Like dead rats, the whole thing, you know. And it took me like 2 weeks to do it. It was insane. I almost died. My point is that it wasn't worth, you know, the hundred. I should have done some research before. But then I've asked for help from people, and they go, "Here's a couple hundred bucks. Don't worry about it." Mm-hmm. You know, like Mencia used to do that. Mencia never really put it over my head. He just said, "Oh, you want me to pay your rent?" He had money, so he was just like, "Just fucking here." You know, like for me, it's like, you know, Raimi, the guy we play with on
Warzone. Shout out to Raimi.
I didn't like, you know, that he didn't have any skins for his character, so I Venmo'd him $40 yesterday to get some skins for his character. You know, and he was kind of like, "What the fuck? I just, for a video game, you're giving me..." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm helping you out. Look at Kalila's face.
See, I'm not berating you.
Yeah, I know, but I know. But my point is that, you know, we've all asked for help. Some people have conditions, some don't. But it's not every time. But you know what? I would have not made it in this business without asking for help. People have helped me.
Yeah, and I think it's impossible to live your life that way. That's very, you're doing a disservice to yourself, because there are people, a lot of people that give just to give out of the goodness of their heart without expecting anything in return. But I do know that feeling. In the Philippines, we call it what, boy boy?
Yeah.
When someone gives you something but then holds it over your head and then expects something in return down the road. Yeah. That has nothing to do with gift giving. That has everything to do with power playing you and trying to strategically play people like a fucking chess piece. And I don't think that that's right. But it's not to say that you won't encounter a lot more people like that in your life, but you will encounter the opposite kind of people in your life as well, who will just help you just to help you, and who find so much intrinsic reward in helping people. And you should accept that. And I think it's going to fulfill you and, you know, make your life ultimately better.
Bye bye.
Like, boy, 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 boy. Say it.
Bye bye.
Boy, boy.
Boy, boy.
It's a little too hard on the B and the Y.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm never gonna say it in a regular sentence to anybody.
Boy boyon.
Boy boyon.
Oh, pretty good.
Thank really you. Good. There you go, Chad.
Chad, that's our advice to you.
Accept help. Accept gifts. It's okay.
Guys, what a great episode. I thought it was fun.
That was great.
Don't you think? That was a fun episode.
Yep. Austin's the best.
Us is the best. But we were pretty good before that, too, I thought.
Oh, that was money.
All right. So God bless you in the pandy. God bless you in life.
God bless you in Quar.
God bless you in Quar. Don't look at me like that, you fuck. Also, Gilbert, just FYI, right? you can talk to me a certain way in Warzone, but don't let that carry over into real life.
Have you heard Gilbert Persona here yet?
Delilah.
Gee whiz, tell me more, Daddy.
Tell me more about TerraSauce, Mama.
I would love to. I would love to share the joy of six people living
anyway,
in my house.
Guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. All right, and God bless you, and take care. Good night.
We love you, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Clala, any shout-outs? You good?
We'll do ads in a second.
Oh, yeah. I wanna do a shout-out to Tatang and Noho.
Oh,
yes. I know that you got me the food from Tatang and Noho, but yesterday Gilbert dropped Filipino food at my doorstep, and Juliana, Bobby, and I had a feast.
That's awesome.
And thank you for all the vegetarian options. That was they had a vegetarian ginataan that's really good. And they also, you also got us, buko pandan ice cream.
Yes. I just feel like Kalila is just not eating a lot of food during this quarantine.
I've gained 12 pounds.
You're making it up. You're just trying to, you know, you got a little more chisel in the face. Everyone can see it. Everyone can see it. George?
Oh, Gilb. I found, old videos of us, like when we first started the podcast.
Oh God, I was so gay.
Nobody, you were so cute.
Yeah,
this
so
is before
cute,
you
Gil.
Thought about going to like boutique gyms and like, you know,
boutique
trying to get into
gyms.
Like, you know, the cool Asians of LA. This is when Gilb was just Gilb.
Happy to be here, guys.
Yeah, because you know, George and I, we do yoga mm-hmm. with
who's the teacher? Who's doing that class? And then can people here join us?
She's the best. So when I went to Hawaii multiple times last year with Bobby, I found a yoga studio, and this woman taught there. And you know, like, I've been doing yoga a lot at home. I do a lot of like home yoga workouts, but I always felt like daunted by the idea of like going to a studio, possibly not being able to do like a complex pose. She's just the best. She embodies what I think being a yogi is. Like, she's so kind. She's like, she's so clear with her cues. She's just a nice, wonderful human being. And I like her classes a lot because it's not just mm-hmm. about the yoga itself. I just like her.
Yeah.
And her handle on Instagram is Kara Ocean.
Kara
her
Ocean.
Name's Kara Miller. And George did her class yesterday for the first time. We did it
awesome.
Together, but we didn't invite you because, again, the whole boutique gym.
Yeah, I need.
You know, you only
I
do
need
the fancy fancies.
I need private classes. I don't work out with other people. You fucking peasants.
No, but you're gonna do it today or on Monday. Will
you
do it on Monday?
Are you guys
with
doing
us?
Wednesday? Let's do tomorrow.
No, she does only Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Let's do Thursday. Morning.
Thursday at 12:30.
Let's do it. I'm in.
You down?
I'm down. 12:30.
All right.
Okay, good. I'll send you her.
Do you eat before?
Zoom link.
Do you eat before or do you eat after?
Oh no, I never eat before yoga. You have to do inversions. Why yeah, would you too. Want your okay. food in your teeth?
Oh, we're talking about advanced classes. I'm gonna see George then do that because he's gonna show me some skills he's been learning. So,
dude,
every time,
George, I yep. am George. I'm telling you right now.
Oh no,
like,
I was awful in the class.
Just the best. Like, you are so game for anything. And even on like the more like challenging poses, you always try to do the harder variation. I don't know. Like, I just,
she was doing it. I only know what to do like when the teacher's doing it. I had no idea how to do the easier version. As soon as she stopped,
every time,
I was still watching her.
Yeah, me and George has to always meet up with me every week after the podcast to like do our weird like drug deal drop off at a parking lot of the SD cards for the audio and footage. Every time he drops it off, he always wants to show me a new move he does. It's kind of weird. People are always like watching us. Like, he'll drop the cards off and then like take 5 minutes to show me a pose.
Aww.
You're amazing, dude. You're amazing.
Did you think the poses yesterday were challenging, George?
There were a few that were too hard.
She always gives you an easier variation anyways. And also, like, I like it because she has, like, a cardio element to mm-hmm. it where her pace is a little bit faster.
Yeah, that's what it was the right speed of everything. And I want to feel a little bit of a burn, a little bit, but not too much and be scared of hurting myself. So it was, I think, a pretty
good mix.
Yeah, and
that's the thing. You shouldn't lead with ego anyways because you're going to end up, like, injuring yourself. I injured myself in Hawaii. Not her class, but somebody else's because... I tried to do a fucking
scorpion.
And no, I tried to do like a really like hard inversion, and I knew that I wasn't game for it, but I did it anyways because the teacher was like, kick your legs up, kick your legs up. I was like, okay, so I did it, and then I ended up fucking ripping my abdomen.
Ooh, it's turtle bleeding. Well, guys, don't worry. This class won't be that intense. Can you give her a shout out one more time, her handle?
Yes, her handle is Kara Ocean. I don't even know if she wants me to shout her out, because, but her classes really are so awesome. And, you know, I think that what sets her classes apart is that her husband is, he does film. Like, he does like a, so the quality, the sound, everything is just really top-notch compared to other, you know, IG lives that
are tough.
Freaking everywhere now. And there's always some like weird audio thing, but her classes are always very clean and nice and perfect.
There you guys go. Follow her.
Gilbert, you're doing it.
I am. I'm said Thursday at 12:30. It's on here.
Okay,
don't Gilbert us. Don't pull your fucking rib cage again and I'll do it.
Because you're too important for George and I. You only do like, you know, you're so Hollywood.
Oh, he's been so much harder to get a hold of now during the pandy. Every time I text him, during the pandy, he's been so much harder to get a hold of. I'll text him, no answer. Text him again, no answer. Call him. Oh, sorry, I'm on a business call. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Hey, George, why don't you pick up your phone? Sorry, I'm working on a new IP for 7 Akies.
You guys are way too important for me.
Yeah, that's 10 minutes later.
All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
Bye.